Rising Kate Casey. Welcome back to another week's episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope you guys have had a great week. There's some television shows that I won't necessarily put on the queue of my house. So, you know, between the war movies, the Peppa Pig episodes, the 60 Minutes, and then the variety of reality shows that I have to watch for just, you know, my own sanity, I don't have enough room for anything on HGTV or the Food Network. So I consider those shows, which I do enjoy, more of like a confined to a nail salon chair type of show. So I watched a new one this past week called HGTV's Flipper Flop Fort Worth. Okay. This is why I like that show, because the show is hosted by a married couple, military veterans, Andy and Ashley Williams. They met while they were both serving in Iraq. They purchased rundown properties in and around Fort Worth and transformed them into modern family homes. They're really good because they work on really tight budgets. So some of these other properties shows you they have insane budgets. They are confined to a small budget and they seem to do it in a really quick timeline, which I know it's a television show, but like I feel like military vets would just get shit done. He's a real estate agent and a home renovator, and she is a designer. And they seem to work really well together. Like, I don't anticipate there'll be some sort of divorce situation in years to come. They seem happily married. But the best part about it, and the reason why you need to watch the show and support them, is because the show highlights the couple's commitment to hiring fellow veterans to assist on the projects. So you can't get any better than that. So HGTV's Flipper Flop, Lone Star State, Fort Worth episodes. Check them out. By the way, I could never do a show like that with my husband. We had a slab leak this last fall, and it took us forever to find someone to fix it. There were gaping holes in our walls, and when somebody would come to visit us, I'd have to explain that we don't live in Beirut, Lebanon. And to get us to agree on doorknobs and tiles and floorboards would just be a goddamn nightmare. Vanderpump Rules never ceases to amaze me every week. God, I love that show. As you know, I love the people on the show. But this past week, Jax almost drowned. He was winded from a run, and then he went out swimming. I feel like I related to this storyline. Number one, whenever I go anywhere, I have to exercise because I don't drink coffee. I don't do drugs. Obviously, I can't drink alcohol right now. I get bored very easily. And I like to get some exercise done so I can like actually eat some trashy food. So anyway, he obviously wanted to leave this, you know, Airbnb that they were all staying. Went out for a run. Then I thought, why not go for a swim? But, you know, the altitude's different up in the mountains. So next thing you know, he's drowning, asking for help. Some, like, lifeguard that basically just made it through the lifeguard program reluctantly went out and saved him. And he went back to the house to explain to everyone that he had almost died, and they laughed at him. And it reminded me of when I went to the gym in Utah a couple weeks ago and told my husband that I was a little bit winded, and he laughed at me like I was crazy. But I'm telling you, that altitude, it is an issue. And then I thought, forget Brittany, maybe Jax is pregnant. Okay, what else about on that show? Gina goes on and on about every guy she's with. When she was with Shay, the mute DJ, she said he was the greatest guy that ever lived. They were so happy together. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, they're getting a divorce. And he was apparently a pill popper. So now she's got this boyfriend, Amber Valletta's brother, which is like, that's like me saying, God, I don't even know. It's like saying I'm, you know, a relative of somebody who was on, you know, The Facts of Life 27 years ago. So no one cares. So she's dating him, and all she does is talk about how great he is, how they're, you know, they're going to get married. They've already named their baby Madison Marie Parks Valletta. He can do no wrong. He's this entrepreneur. And I love on reality shows when they say an entrepreneur, because that's the loosest term in history. Like, really, they're an entrepreneur. Can they talk about sales techniques? Can they talk about supply and demand? Like, I'd really like to know some answers. Well, the people in my Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey, which you must join if you have not already, they did some digging. And this guy with this, you know, home in Big Bear, which she said he bought for a small amount of money and built it up, and now he has to rent on the weekends, turns out it's his parents' house. It reminds me of so many people in Southern California who like to tell me how rich they are, and then you find out they haven't worked in 7 years and their grandparents bought their house. You know, it's like you can't say stuff like that and not expect people to dig a little bit. So, you know, obviously he told Jax behind her back that he wasn't really into her. And then this week he put out an Instagram message noting that because it's a reality television, some things are exaggerated. I think he was basically trying to calm Sheena down because she was probably had those talons up to her neck like she was going to cut herself. Here's the thing. She reminds me of the girls on Instagram that say they have perfect marriages. You can't say that you have a perfect marriage. You can't say you have a perfect relationship because there's always stuff to complain about. I don't trust somebody who says they have a perfect marriage because it doesn't exist. I mean, that's how women communicate with each other. You piss and moan about the person you're with, your boyfriend, your husband, whomever. So I don't know what's in store for the rest of their relationship if they even have one anymore, because I believe that they still have sex on the side, according to people in my Facebook group. But I would say next time she's in a relationship to keep it on the DL for a little while. Also, did it ever occur to anyone that she might be fantastic with Max Vanderpump, the son of the Vanderpump couple from Sir, Lisa, and Ken? He's like a glorified busser right now, but we all know that she's going to hand him the keys to the restaurant at some point. I don't know, just a thought. The Bachelor is a mess. It is a mess. I'm sure people have seen spoilers. It's a disaster. I'm not going to talk about the ending because I will have death notices, but I will tell you this. I've never liked Ari. I didn't like him from the beginning. He has no education. He worked at a Pizza Hut, became a race car driver, came back home, and became a real estate agent. Remember back in the day when they used to have people who had like real careers and real degrees? I'd like for them to go back in time and find someone who is a little bit more interesting of a match, especially not someone who makes out with every single person he sees. But anyway, the last couple episodes, they concentrated on the last group of the finalists. And they went on hometown dates. And it brought me back a little bit because Lauren took him to Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I used to live. I lived there for like 2 years. I graduated from college. I married my boyfriend from college. The marriage lasted like a year and a half. It was a disaster. You can read about it on my website, loveandknuckles.com. It was a shit show. That's where we lived, Virginia Beach, Virginia. So it made me laugh how they made it seem like this really super romantic place, because all I have memories of that city are being alone because he was on deployment and going to a bar called the Hot Tuna and getting wasted with my girlfriends. So anyway, they go back on these, you know, hometown dates, and these girls, they pretend they have the most perfect family. I mean, the most perfect, except Lauren had thrown her family under the bus a couple weeks ago and said, my parents have a horrible marriage. My dad's not great to my mom. And because of it, I'm scared to get married. Well, then I don't think she expected to be a finalist, because then she's back in her Virginia Beach hometown and she's taken them on a tour of the house where her parents live. And she's trying to convince them that she's a great candidate for marriage because she comes from parents that are still married. It's like, I didn't forget what you said. So it made me think of what would have happened if I had been on this show at around the same age, and how I would have avoided all possibility of going back to meet my family, because unlike these other contestants, I would have a very hard time withholding the truth. It would basically be like this. Me. This is my stepfather, Joe. He sells propane, but he likes to tell people he was a Korean War veteran. And if he starts to tell you about the time he was one of the first Navy SEALs, just know that this is a figment of his imagination, because military records of my mom found proved that he was discharged after basic training because of a bad ankle, and also because he showed signs of schizophrenia. Oh, and don't be alarmed because he wears soiled sweatpants and shirts with large holes ripped into them, or grass stains. I mean, not that the guy ever mowed the lawn. God knows I was the only one who did it. But he often forgets to empty his home catheter plastic container. So if you're in the living room sitting on one of the Barco loungers, just make sure not to drink anything that's yellow. Or, oh, this is my stepfather's sister, Sally Ann. Listen, behind her back, he calls her a madam. Just don't be swayed by that. And if she tries to read your palm, it's because she says she's a psychic, but I see no reason to believe that's actually true. Or, oh, this is my half-sister. Yeah, she and her husband met while they worked the late shift at McDonald's when they were in college. Yeah, now they live in a home decorated with denim couches and covered in dog feces. Yeah. She wears wrestling shoes and a banana clip because no one's told her that it's actually not 1986. She sings opera, and Oh, she can also sing the entire Amy Grant catalog. Are you familiar with the 1982 platinum album Age to Age? Because she can sing to you right now with her guitar, El Shaddai. Oh, and this is my other half-sister. She met her boyfriend when they were working at a sex shop. Up until recently, her Facebook profile was her wearing a mask, holding a whip over her head. I had to unfriend her because I just was a little bit concerned about coworkers thinking I do like some sort of side business with the person who works in a sex shop. Oh, this is my Aunt Marie. Pleased to meet, you know, great to meet her, I'm sure. Yeah, she's a priest. She's an Episcopal priest. Oh, and this is her husband. He's an atheist. Yeah, I know it doesn't make sense to us either. Or, oh, my, this is my grandfather, Murray. He's on his third marriage. I thought it was a little bit weird that he brought 6 pieces of shrimp to this dinner. But then again, I'm probably not going to see him for another 12 years. So there you go. Oh, my mom's downstairs. She's making chocolate pretzels. I would have asked my dad to come, but I haven't seen him since I was 3. Yeah, I mean, you're probably having no concerns about a potential marriage with me, right? And then, of course, there's my sister, Megan. You know, she just didn't show up because she's a bitch. Yeah, she told me, I'm not showing up to meet some loser you had defined through a TV show. So I thought it was best maybe if we put that meeting off until after the engagement. I mean, it would have been a goddamn nightmare. So thank God I wasn't on that show. Although, again, if somebody needs me to show up as a relative in any future episodes, I'm very happy to pose as a cousin, an aunt, whatever you need. This week's episode is awesome. Sally Ann Salzano is the creator of Jersey Shore, Floribama Shore, and the upcoming show on MTV, Hunter Mountain. And she's got a great story, and she's kicking ass, and she's a woman, and I love it. Also, Rachel Degman is on a new show I'm absolutely obsessed with. It's on the Country Music Channel, and it's called Music City, and it follows a bunch of kids, well, kids, they're like in their 20s, that are trying to make it in the music industry. And Rachel and her husband are featured on the show. Her husband, Carrie, is so hot. You are not going to believe it. And Danny Pellegrino told me that he was like one of the most successful male models. And you will see why. The guy is so good looking. They have a 2-year-old son and they're on the show. And I'm telling you, watch the first episode, which airs Thursday. And you will see how great of a singer he is and how hot he is. And then, lastly, my pal Heather McDonald, I asked her what she would do if she was in the bachelor suite, the fantasy suite. Would she have sex? If she did have sex, what? How much would she do? That kind of stuff. And then also, should her son Drake become the bachelor in maybe 10 years? What would she ask the contestants when they make it to the finals and they go off to some, you know, third world country or tropical location and they get to meet the contestants for 30 minutes before their son makes the final decision. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's show. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. Sally Ann Salzano is the founder, executive producer, and the CEO of 495 Productions with hit series spanning multiple networks. And by the way, 495, which I love, is named after the highway in New Jersey. I love that because I'm from Philadelphia. She's the mastermind for the breakout hit Jersey Shore, which is considered the most successful show in MTV's history. Now, first I have to tell you, she is one of the most recognized and successful leaders in the entertainment industry. She's been honored for her work by The Hollywood Reporter, who has featured her on their reality TV Most Powerful list for 3 years in a row, and included her in the Women in Entertainment Power 100 list as well. Variety Magazine has also included her on the Reality Impact Report. So she's, in my opinion, quite a big deal. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
So you began your career as an intern for the Howard Stern Show and on the Sally Jesse Raphael Show, which is hysterical. What is the best lesson you learned from the Howard Stern and Sally Jesse Raphael show?
Both of them are incredibly hard work and never took it for granted. And I think, you know, I was at both of those places, you know, in the height of their stardom, and they were like first ones in, last ones out. Got to know their staff and really, really didn't take it for granted. And I love that. I love that they were still grinding it. Like, even though they had people there to do it, were like in with their team.
Right. I like that too. I always say that that makes the biggest difference in life is always to be the last person to leave the office. So I like to hear that there are people that still have been in their career for many, many years and still do the same thing. And I'm assuming you probably still are like that. Do you work nonstop?
I work a lot, but yeah. I also love it.
Yeah.
And a lot of my like life friends have come from work. So sometimes even if we're like out and about, it's like somehow or another, like a cast member will call or we're talking about something. There's always something, but like, I don't think I know any other way at this point.
And it probably doesn't feel like work most of the time because you get such a kick out of doing it, right?
I do. I genuinely feel like I'm like lucky and I like love what I do.
So after relocating to LA, you became a showrunner for The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Trista and Ryan's Wedding and Extreme Makeover Wedding Edition. Tell me your most memorable moment from The Bachelor.
Oh my God. That truly to me is one of the biggest moments of my career. That was the first time I got a job on a full-on reality show. No one would hire me because I was a talk show producer. And they were like, well, you don't have reality experience. And reality was so new. And they were taking people with no experience over people that had talk show experience, when really reality is just long-form talk. Mm-hmm. And then when I went into The Bachelor, the woman that I interviewed with was a woman named Lisa Levinson. And Lisa had been a former Jerry Springer producer who was just given an opportunity. And she's like, look, I think talk show producers leave no stone unturned and have a different grit to them. She's like, I'll take you in a heartbeat. And it was a friend of hers. We had a mutual friend in common that introduced me. And I got the job that day, took it. And I got to tell you, I was never more proud of anything in my life. And I lived it. I breathed it. I loved every second of it. I mean, from Trista to Bachelor Bob to the Firestones, like you, Bergie, like you name it. I loved it.
Who is your favorite Bachelor?
I don't know. It's funny. I had the most fun with the girls on the Firestone season, but I had the most. I don't know. It's hard. I don't know. I'm still friendly with Bob. Like, I don't know. I just loved it. Each one of them is different. And that's what I love about all the shows. It's like, you know, I love every show and every character for different reasons. And I think they all brought something different. And I still think today The Bachelor does such a great job of that, of like reinventing and like, you know, this guy is a little different and all that kind of jazz.
So you went to school in the Midwest and you said that you always stuck out because you were from like from Jersey. And
I'm from Long Island.
Oh, you're from Long Island.
I'm from Long Island.
But you made a funny remark that I read in an interview where you said that you were always, you know, getting tan in college. And so tell me a little bit how you came up with the idea of Jersey Shore, because I think it's such a funny story.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, I lived it. It's what we did. We went to, you know, we went to the Jersey Shore to party. We went to the Hamptons to party. Like, that's just what we did. You did weekend houses. Like, in the summer, you went to the shore or the Hamptons. And in the winter, you went to the mountains. You went up to, like, Hunter or Killington. And you skied, and it was all about weekend houses. Like, you just worked and lived for the weekend. But I was, like, always tanning. Like, I was, like, safety orange from age, like, 14 to 22 easy. Like, I for sure was. I don't know. It's just what it is, and it's not weird. Like, that's just, like, culturally and geographically where you live and what people that are like you are doing, you know, is that.
So when you came up with the idea, what was the first reaction people gave to you? Were they
confused by it or excited about it? I mean, was the idea of Guidos on the Jersey Shore like over people's head?
What was the East Coast office of VH1 that initially I did it with? And that was good because they were East Coast. But it was funny, even in Los Angeles, when I was hiring, you know, I have a staff and sometimes we have multiple shows. So it's like, all right, who's going to do show X and who's going to do show Y? And, you know, you sit down with every person and you're like, what would you rather do and all that? And to be honest, a lot of people were like, what's a Guido? And at that moment, I was like, what? Which made me nervous and excited because I was like, how the fuck do you not know what a Guido is, number one?
Right.
And number two, I was like, oh my God, this is either great because everyone's going to be like, what's a Guido? What is this world I didn't know about? Or people are going to be like, I don't know what this is, moving on.
Right. I love
that. So it was like, yeah, it's just like crazy and they don't know. And like you try and describe it and you're like, you know, it just doesn't even, it sounds crazier than it is.
I love your story about when you were casting and you were meeting with Mike, the situation, and he said, hold on, let me take my shirt off so I feel more comfortable. What was it about first of all, how hard was it to find the cast that you did, which were unbelievable? And some people kind of gave you grief because Snooki was from Rhode Island, like she wasn't from New Jersey. So tell me a little bit about how hard it was to cast.
Snooki's from Poughkeepsie, New York. Holly D is from Rhode Island. The show is not called I'm from New Jersey. It was never the title.
Right.
The Jersey Shore is a place that people on the East Coast go. So I took it as like, okay, that's what you're focusing on. That's what you're picking apart. Like it doesn't even, that means everything else is kind of fine. And like, you know, the people in New Jersey were yelling like, they're not even all from New Jersey. Like Ronnie's not from New Jersey. J-Well's not from New Jersey. I'm like, yes, the show is not called Hey, I'm from New Jersey. That was like never the title.
Those cast members had such a tight bond. Did you realize in the beginning of the show that you were onto something so great? Because the relationships really were such an integral part of the success of the show, I would think.
You know what? They still do. It's amazing. It's like, I always say with those experiences, you live through something and you do something that very few people get to do in their lives, and you're doing it with those people. And there's a certain amount of camaraderie and insider stuff that just happens because of it. And like those guys hit, but it was like some of the tragedy that actually brought them together. Like the night that Snooki got hit in that bar is when the whole cast rallied around her.
And whatever happened to that guy? Do you have any idea?
Who knows?
Yeah.
What a crazy No. Wow. Who knows? But like at that point, don't forget Angelina was already gone. So it was kind of like they got along, but like Angelina was there. She wasn't getting along. She was out. Snooki was feeling homesick and not accepted. And then that night when that horrible thing went down at the bar, it was like they all kind of rallied and were like, oh my God, I can't believe how much I care about these people. Like sometimes it takes a life event for that to happen. And it was all a fluke. But oddly enough, and like we talk about it sometimes, even like, you know, Snooks and I, and like, it's funny, I was talking to Ronnie last night. We were like, it's really that's what got everybody like all kind of like, protective and like, you know, we can pick on each other, but no one can pick on us. It's kind of like that family mentality, you know,
yeah.
Like I can say snarky stuff about my sister or brother, but you can't.
Right.
And I feel like they got that mentality very quickly. And they do, they razz each other all the time. Like it literally is like, it's so funny to just be around.
Is there anything that you wish that you could feature more on the show, but we just couldn't because of time constraints?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I just think sometimes I wish there's more of it. And like, you know, this is a show like Big Brother After Dark, where I feel like if you watched it live, it'd be equally as entertaining.
Right.
Sometimes it's just hard because you have to edit it down. And sometimes people would be like, there's no way that happened. Like, people wouldn't believe it, but in actuality, and it all happens the way it happens.
Maybe that's what you need to do for your new show, Floribama Shore, is to have the live feed like they people do on Celebrity Big Brother. It is interesting.
Oh my goodness, right?
How interested people are in the cast. Now, I have been watching Floribama Shore. Tell me a little bit about the creation of that show.
Well, I had done, you know, I did Jurors, and then I had done about 7 seasons of a show called Party Down South. And I became super interested in the Southern culture. And then there became this whole article and everything saying the new South, like people are different. People are different. And, you know, in talking to Chris McCarthy over at, you know, MTV, we were talking about, like, what do you miss the most? What's this? What's that? And I was like, you know what? I'm like, it's an untapped area right now, and let's give it a whirl. And, you know, we went in looking for, you know, a little bit different. Like, we were looking for kids that were a little bit at a crossroads in their life, and it was awesome. And it was, everybody had like a different thing that they were dealing with in a way. Some of it was from a while back. Some of it was currently. But I got to tell you, they all just wanted to blow off some steam before, you know, shake it off before starting their real adult life. And the audience just took to them, you know, as did I. And I think it's interesting, like, there's a different level of honesty. I felt like some of the stuff that happened in episode 1 would have normally been stuff that you would have been talking about all season and leading up to in, like, the season finale or, you know, episode 7 or 8. And these kids just came in sharing their lives, which I thought was, I think it's a testament to the times. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, younger people today are so used to sharing every single thing that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I remember explaining to, you know, the Jersey Shore cast, like, this is your confessional. You can come in here and do your, you know, things. And now you do it with Floribama. And when I did it on Hunter Mountain, it was interesting because they're both like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like our own Insta story. It's like our shit. And I'm like, yep, that's what it is. You know, so it's kind of interesting that, like, they also, like, didn't have to be taught how to do it or say, like, oh, this is about, like, just getting out what you think. It's like they all know and they're doing it all the time anyway.
I have to tell you, Courtney and Amy were such incredible finds. How hard was it to cast the show?
You know, it's never easy, but also, I don't know, it's the most important part. And you just keep digging and digging and digging until you think you have it. And it's like meeting them in person, talking to them on the phone. It's, you know, you go through a certain, you know, pattern to get it all done.
Do you get really close to the people that you cast for these shows?
Yes, like abnormally. Like, literally, like, 95% of them call me mom, which was never an issue, except for now. I'm like, oh, God, I am old enough to be your mom for over the years. In the beginning, I used to be like, yeah, right, I had you at 7. Now I'm like, yeah, I could totally be your mom. So it's, I don't know, I like it, and I think that's kind of what really makes these shows good, and I think it's the trust. Like, I don't come in and say, call me that. But I feel like it just becomes like on the, like, I think myself and my staff is super nurturing. And I feel like sometimes it just propels that kind of family environment, that safety, and that they trust. And I feel like trust is the most important element when making these shows. Like, if I don't trust that my cast is being themselves and being 100% truthful, like, for me, it's like, I might as well go home. I'll just wait for the next one.
Yeah.
Or these guys have to trust that I am going to tell the exact story of what happened. And, you know, they're going to trust me with their emotions, their feelings, and their inner thoughts. And I'm going to take care of them as if they were my own. And that's the pledge I always make to our cast. And that's why, for me, I stay out there with them during the entire shoot, because I want to see it. I don't want to see it just in an edit. I want to see the emotional roller coaster. I want to see, you know, when they had good days, when they had bad days, how that panned out. I want to learn about them, the nuances, their looks, their isms. Like, all of that stuff is what I think makes the show.
So you'll just stay, like, at a location nearby, but be within range, so you're always available.
It depends. Sometimes I live in the house,
oh, wow.
in, like, a spare room, depending on the size of the house. And sometimes, you know, I live, like, down the road, you know, wherever the crew lives, I live. I always live, like, with, you know, I work and operate just as, like, a regular crew member.
I really respect that. I think that's great. And probably what sets your shows apart. That's really very interesting. Now, tell me a little bit about what you're working on right now.
So right now we have Winter Break premiering Tuesday night on MTV at 10:30, which I freaking love. So when we weren't like causing a ruckus at the Jersey Shore growing up, we were at Hunter Mountain doing it. And this is literally like the same nightclub is there that I went to when I was like, you know, young, hip, and like, you know, had my shit together, called Slopes. And we have, you know, 8 kids that are skiers and snowboarders. You, as we used to say when we were singing, cabin fever is real. Yeah. Like, these guys are in there. They're snowed in some days. They're on the mountain. There's broken hearts, broken bones, a ton of laughs, a ton of police visits, a couple of ambulances. It is one of these shows where I'm like, literally at the end of it, I looked at the cast. I'm like, what just happened? Like, it was just, you know, insane.
Great. Now, if people want to track down the stuff that you're working on, where can they find your website?
Our website is 495productions.com. And we are, you know, we try and get our press out there and all that kind of stuff. And we have a new show coming out on TLC Saturday night, March the 3rd, as well, which is a dating show that uses crazy technology that allows you to meet someone in one day and date their entire life, meet their family and do everything before you decide if you want to go out with them. Mm-hmm. So you date 3 different people like that. The only catch is you don't get to see them. You just get to see everything in their life.
Wow. What's that called?
Hear Me, Love Me, See Me.
Okay, great.
And that's, Saturday.
And then if people want to
March 3rd.
Follow you on Twitter, where can they find you?
At Sally Ann Salzano. It's pretty straightforward. It's my actual name. And I'm fairly active, and it's fun too, cause the cast all make fun of me and like all that stuff. They, you know,
are you on Instagram as well?
I'm not, but I will be.
Oh, good. Okay, great. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me. I have great respect for you, for your success. And I'm so happy to hear a woman is just kicking ass in the reality world. So thank you.
We are trying.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
With 4 daughters and 2 on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC.
As you know, I love a new reality show, and I'm now obsessed, and I say that with 100% certitude, obsessed with a new show premiering on CMT called Music City. Now, this show is done by the creators of MTV's The Hills and Laguna Beach, and it follows 5 young Nashville residents as they chase their dreams of success, fame, and romance. And my favorite cast members from the show are a married couple with a gorgeous 2-year-old baby named Wolfgang, Rachel and Carrie. They have moved from Los Angeles to Nashville to pursue Carrie's music dreams. And Rachel is this smart, cool young mom, and she also harbors a secret dream to be in law school. So the first couple episodes, you're going to see them sort of struggling with the move to Nashville, how he needs to go on tour and leave them behind, and how she navigates being a young mom and also wanting to pursue her dream. And so I would like to say, hi, Rachel, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
So I watched the first two episodes, and I'm encouraging everyone to watch this great show. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the show?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm so glad that you liked the first two episodes. So the show follows my story of being a mom and a nanny and taking care of my 2.5-year-old son while my husband is on the road a lot. And most importantly, I really want to go to law school, but it's very hard for me to pursue that while my husband pursues music. So that's what we're dealing with.
Well, first of all, I related to the story. My husband owns a software company. And so much of my married life, I'm pregnant with my fifth, but most of my married life has been him working all the time. And I do think that a lot of women can relate to the story of, you know, the struggle. Once you have a child, it really puts a lot of your career aspirations on the back burner. And top with that, the fact that your husband is also early in his career as well. So tell me a little bit about how the producers found you and how you came to the decision as a married couple to, you know, bring your story to the masses.
Yeah. So Adam DeVello, the producer of the show, he knew my husband just through the grapevine back when my husband lived in New York City a long time ago, like almost 10 years ago. And so Adam saw somehow, I don't know, maybe social media, that Carrie was now living in Nashville. And so he just reached out to Carrie and asked if he'd be interested in being part of this project, Music City. And Carrie brought it to me, and Carrie was pretty hesitant. And I was like, are you kidding me? We're definitely doing this. I mean, this is why we live in Nashville. This is, you know, I feel like I've sacrificed everything for these past 5.5 years so that Carrie can do music. And it's like, you know, this is just a great opportunity for him. And I told Carrie he had 8 years to try and do music, and we're at 5.5. So it's like, he only has a couple more years to really share his talent with the rest of the world. So we prayed about it. We talked with some mentors and friends and obviously our family, and ultimately decided that we would do it. And, we are both really happy that we did, and it honestly turned out better than we expected. So
how did you guys meet?
We met in Los Angeles at a brunch with some mutual friends, and Carrie actually pursued me for a while. I was not into him. He wasn't really my type that I usually dated, but I'm glad that he pursued me, and ultimately I gave him a shot, and then we actually only dated 6 months, and we, Carrie asked if I would marry him and move to Nashville, and we got married on the way from Los Angeles to Nashville.
What? And then how soon after did you get pregnant?
And then I got pregnant about 2.5 years after we married and came to Nashville. And those first 2 years were insane. It was the hardest time of my life. I mean, we didn't know each other. We didn't know anybody in Nashville. It was just a crazy, crazy roller coaster, and it was perfect timing because our marriage had kind of finally stabled out a little bit. You'll see on the show, we're not completely stable, but we're stable enough to have a healthy home environment for a child. So we got pregnant shortly after things smoothed out.
Now, how long have you wanted to go to law school?
So that's funny. I actually got my score for my first LSAT the same day I found out that I was pregnant.
Mm.
Wolfgang was not a planned pregnancy. So, I was overjoyed, and I've always wanted kids, but, at that time I decided to put things on hold. So it's been over 3 years that I wanted to go to law school.
And then I noticed in the first season or the first episode that you're working with another family. Do you have the option to bring him with you? Because as a mom, I was watching that thinking, how hard that must be to, you know, have a child that young and also have a job at the same time.
Oh yeah. Honestly, I could write 5 books on parenting and nannying. And when I applied for jobs after Wolfgang was born, I applied with the contingency that I would bring him with me. And at that time, I had 12, almost 13 years experience as a nanny. So, you know, in interviews, I would just say, you know, I'm fully capable of taking care of your children as well as my own. So I would ask that I can bring my son. And to be honest, and to my surprise, most people were not open to that. And that was heartbreaking. And that was a really, a really hard time for me because I just wasn't expecting that. So I, you know, it took months to find a family or some different families that were open to me bringing my son with me.
Well, I remember watching that thinking, what a great family that they were open to that. And I'm so glad that you found that, because anyone who's had a baby understands how hard that would be. And then on top of it, your husband has to go on tour. So, you know,
yes.
Parenthood is a 24-hour, 360-day a year job. So you don't get a break. And So to have a toddler and then have your husband gone, and this is not like he comes home later at night so he can kiss your son to, you know, before bed. That's, you know, a real struggle, and you early in your marriage relatively. So, And on top of that, you're on TV. So is there any way that you guys kind of prepared each other for, I mean, because now that you see the episodes back, you know, you saw in the episode, first episode, he discusses a little bit about having to go on tour and the trepidation he has to tell you, which I believe happens in every marriage. My own husband sometimes is scared to tell me things because he knows how I'm going to react. So when you see episodes play back, do you, first of all, it must feel like ages ago, I'm thinking. And then also, do you find that you watch them together and it just seems like many moons ago, or like, is it helpful in your communication now?
It is definitely helpful. The show honestly has been really therapeutic for us. We have learned to communicate a lot more and just a lot more frequently and a lot more clearly because of the show, because, you know, we are putting our marriage and essentially our family on blast for the world, and it puts us in a vulnerable position, and we just constantly have to be in communication before the cameras turn on, while they're on, and after they turn off. We just have to check in with each other and let each other know, you know, hey, when you said this, it made me feel that way, or next time this happens, let's try it this way. And especially with Wolfgang, we have to put down some pretty firm boundaries, and everyone's super respectful of his schedule and just very, very, kind, honestly, about making sure Wolfgang gets his sleep and gets his meals and everything he needs. So it honestly has been, it actually has been good for our marriage, which I can't even believe I'm saying that, because we had no idea what would happen, you know.
I'm glad you said that, because like all shows that I watch, I start, you know, I watch someone that I think, oh God, I hope I don't need have to worry about them now. Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Totally. Are you somebody who loves music? If you know, you're married to somebody who, let me also tell people that I'm a cynical person, right? And I'm not really into music. So I start watching the show. It seems like everybody has this secret dream to be a musician. So I was fully expecting your husband to be like, okay, you know? So by the end of the episode, he starts singing a song to Rachel. And I got to tell you, I went back and watched it four times because it was so good. He's really good. And I really hope that he takes off from the show. He's really good. So do you love music? And do you ever tell him, I swear to God, if you sing that song one more time, I'm going to slam my head against a wall.
You know what? I honestly relate to what you're saying. I feel like I am very similar. I'm a realist. I can be cynical. I can be pessimistic. And I actually don't listen to country music naturally. That's not my genre, and I'm not a musician, so I don't know much about music. I just know what I like. So, on that note, the thing about my husband, and I appreciate what you said so much about him sounding good, because he has basically spent the past 5.5 years locked in a studio or in a bedroom or in a living room, playing guitar and singing, and he's taken vocal lessons and guitar lessons. I mean, he's really just put everything into it, and I feel badly because because it's not one of those things where you get paid for your practice. Mm-hmm. I've definitely harped on him at times, like, okay, I appreciate that this is your dream, but like, we're trying to keep the lights on. And so now that he's getting some recognition for it, I'm just so proud of all the work he's put into it, because now that people can listen, he's up to par. He's met the standard.
He's really good. I mean, I don't even normally say this, but I thought whatever album he has out, I'm going to buy it. So let me
Thank
tell you,
that's so sweet.
That I am definitely pulling for you. And so can you tell me anything about your law school, or do I have to wait to see what happens? Give me something, Rachel, I need to know that you're going to be okay.
I know. I am going to be okay because Kerry is a good husband and he's going to take care of me. And our friends and family really have been awesome. But as far as law school, let me just tell you that there is a cliffhanger at the end of season one with my law school. But just so you know, personally, I have not concluded. So I'm still on the journey towards law school.
You can go to law school in Nashville, right? I mean, Los Angeles, while it's a beautiful place and I'm happy to live in this area, it's not the only place in the world that has great law schools.
Definitely. The problem with Nashville is the only two accredited law schools only provide full-time law school. And so I would not be able to, it would be hard for me to manage Wolfgang and law school if I had to go full time.
I see. That makes sense.
Colorado, which is also where I was born and raised. I was born and raised in Littleton, Colorado, and they have like two great options that have part-time law school. Not to mention that my family's there. So I am definitely open to Nashville. It's just basically the hardest place for me to go because I have no family to help with Wolfgang and I have to go full time.
I've been there, my friend. I totally understand. But if you're from Littleton, Colorado, did you go to Columbine?
I went to Chatfield, but I was involved in that. Yeah.
Wow. And have you kept in touch with friends from high school?
Oh yes. Yep. Some of my, obviously Elisa and J-Mac are my two of my best friends here in Nashville, but most of my girls are in Denver.
Wow. Well, you have had quite a life, my friend.
Thank you. Yes, I feel grateful for all my experiences.
So tell us one thing that you're really looking forward to everyone seeing this season.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm really nervous about something that happens in episode two that I share with everybody. So I'm looking forward to that in a different sense. Something that I'm really excited about is Kerry and I's trip to California. We go out there and besides the law school aspect, it was amazing. We got to hang out in Malibu and I mean, that's kind of Adam's stomping grounds because he did the hills in Laguna Beach. So it just turned out like so beautiful.
Well, good. If this music career doesn't pan out, he could probably do some male modeling. Don't you think?
I think he's done some of that.
It's not a surprise to me. You guys are both gorgeous. That baby of yours is super cute. If you ever come to Newport Beach, he's, you know, more than welcome to come play with my kids. And then you can go on law school interviews.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I want you to pursue your dream because you deserve it. So I'm wishing you guys the best. I love the show. And I encourage everyone to check it out. And so tell me where we can find his music because I want to download whatever I can.
Yes. So his music will not really be accessible until Thursday, which is the day the show premieres. And you'll be able to find it everywhere. His name's Kerry Degman, KerryDegman. And he has an amazing single coming out on Thursday, March 1st that I'm really excited about.
Will you have him do a version of the song that he sang on the show? Because that rendition I could hear again and again and again.
Oh, definitely. I think he will be putting a version of that out for sure.
Oh, good. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you.
So I am obsessed with Instagram. I'm on there way too much. And it's Rachel Degman, RACHYL D Degman, and that's my Instagram handle. And Carrie's is also just Carrie Degman. We're both on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your support and your encouragement. Honestly, it's really nice to hear.
It's such a great show. So excited for you.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Heather McDonald, you have watched almost every episode of The Bachelor, I'm assuming, since the first season with Trista and Alex Michelle, who I still don't know if he was straight or not. I feel like you're an expert at this point, and I need to know what you would do if you were a contestant on The Bachelorette. You get to the finals and you're given the opportunity to be in the fantasy suite. Tell me what you would do.
Well, if I got to be a contestant on The Bachelor and I was still a virgin like Ashley, I would just dry hump really hard and just tell him that's when I would reveal I was a virgin. And I would just say, I hope you understand, but if we're going to get married, I want you to be my only one. Now, if I wasn't a virgin, I'm still not great at sex after I've been doing it all these years. I've been doing it for over 20 years and I don't think I'm that great. So, I'd probably try to get him real drunk so that he doesn't remember that I can't do all the tricks that the other two girls can do. But I mean, I could successfully probably, you know, get him off. So yeah, I would do it then. Cause I think you have to do it for sure.
Do you think that if a girl says, I'm just not there yet, I want to wait until we're married, that's the kiss of death. Like, he's absolutely not going to choose you.
Absolutely the kiss of death, unless you are in fact a virgin. If you've slept with anyone else in your life, you better get down for the boning performance of your life. If you want to be down to the final two, you are competing with people that probably gave the greatest and the longest blowjobs, the longest fake orgasm, whatever. You have to just act like it. And you have to act like he is the best sex that you've ever had in your life, because it's all about him being reassured. Like, they never pick the girl that they think might break up with them later or might say no. They always pick the safe choice. So they got to make sure that you think they're the bomb in bed, even if you don't.
So that's the first time the cameras are without you. Do you ask them any probing questions that would be useful to you in the event that you are engaged to them?
I think you got to really know where they live and make sure they don't have roommates. I'm sure you remember one of the most shocking living situations ever, which was a houseboat in Portland with the guy that had the kid. And then we found out that he didn't have that houseboat and that he worked in a kiosk and had a roommate.
Jason Mesnick. Yes.
So I think, you know, at this point they have seen their home. So, I mean, they got to make sure that is for real. And what else would I want to ask? I would ask, like, what's your credit card debt situation like? I think that's something that a lot of people don't think to ask until you're, you know, about to get married or buy a home and then you find out that your fiance has a 560 FICO. You got to know that. though he could lie in the room. But I would try to get into that too. Obviously, how many kids do you want? And, you know, do you expect me? What do you expect? Like, oh, you know, the other thing I was thinking about is like, God, like you don't even know if you're getting with someone who's like a total slob or if they're like in a super anal neat freak.
Right.
Like
right.
You're not going to know that until you're like really hanging out with them. So I think that's kind of important.
Do you ask them who they voted for in the last presidential election?
Yes, I think you need to know that. And I think you need to know the reasons behind it. Like, you know, it was such a weird time. And I think that people voted for people that normally, you know, it's just, and then you got to say, and how do you feel about it now?
Right.
And kind of know what you're getting into, you know?
What do you ask them about their relationship with their parents? Do you dig into that or do you let that sort of unfold?
Well, I think by then you've met the parents, so you kind of already know, like if they're estranged or if they're overbearing. Or I think a good question to ask is, because this just came up on my Juicy Scoop Obsessed page where someone said, my mother-in-law is, no, actually the mother-in-law wrote somewhere. It was like a Dear Abby or something, and someone posted it, that she was furious that her daughter-in-law won't let her in the room for the birth. Oh. And I think that's a really good question to ask. Like, you know, how you feel comfortable, and you could get then how swayed he might be by his mother. You know, there's a level of respect for your mom, and then there's ones where it's just a guy is just a fully being, you know, bullied by some weird woman. So, I mean, I don't need to see my daughter-in-law have the baby come out of her vagina. I really don't. Like, I mean, you know, like, I totally respect that. If she wants me there, great. That's really cool. I've been in birthing rooms. I like it. I like when the head pops out and the rest of the body's inside of you. It's one of my favorite things. But if Breaker Brandon's wife and she doesn't want me there and she wants her mother there, like, that is her right. That's not my daughter. It's my son. It'll always be about the girl giving birth. It'll never be about the boy when it comes to the birthing experience.
Okay. So then let's flip the switch. So let's say Drake, you know, 10 years from now is the bachelor. You get these two girls that you meet in Bermuda. You get a chance to sit down and kind of chat with them for at least 20 minutes. What are you going to ask them?
Well, I only know my son Drake now as a new 15-year-old. So I'm going to ask questions what matters now. So the first question is, do you know how to make pancakes? And he's very particular. He likes them unusually thick and very crispy. And so I need to know that you will do that. I need to know that you are okay with buying 2 half gallons of milk every 4 days and keep that shit stocked. I also need to ask, how do you feel about gifts? And because you're not getting any. But if you ask him to do something for you, like take out the trash or put something together, he's very good and he will do it. He will do it for you. But just, you know, just know that he's not going to a mall. He is not buying a Labely purse ever. And I don't think that'll change in 10 years. I really don't.
Do you warn her at all about Peter? Do you say anything about your family dynamics? Or do you let that sort of play out after he decides on the final contestant?
I would say that we are a fun family to be in. And you will be able to go on trips and have fun. But also, don't be that girlfriend that expects to go golfing with Drake. Like, once in a while, you can go in the cart with me and we'll have some drinks. We'll show up like halfway through and have dinner at the club. But he and his dad's friends just need to have that Saturday morning by themselves. And don't try to hone in on it and don't cry about it. Just accept it. And then when he comes home, he'll fix some shit for you.
Can you tell the contestants, the last two girls, let's say their names are Brianna and Crystal. Tell them what is a deal breaker for you in terms of a daughter-in-law.
Whew. A deal breaker for me is, if you smoke, Another deal breaker for me is if you're judgy about my drinking. I better be able to, you know, have weekends with your child. Like, I want to be the grandma that has the whole weekend and let the baby sleep in my bed with me. Okay. When it's old enough that I won't crush it. Okay. Like when it's like, you know, not when it's an infant, like when it's like a toddler, and you can't have an issue with that. And then, let me see, what's the last, you can never be gone for an entire Christmas situation unless, you know, we can go on a vacation all together, but you cannot like just say Christmas is my time. We'll see your parents on the 26th. That can't happen.
Okay, good. And are there any, you know, girls that have specific jobs that are just deal breakers for you?
Well, a webcam girl, anything like that, like a sexual thing, definitely not. Definitely any girl that's in a multi-level marketing situation, selling anything from vibrators to, you know, jewelry. I don't want her. That's not what I want her to do. I would encourage her to keep some type of job going throughout the child rearing years. Just so she has her own thing and her own money, because my son is cheap. And if she wants to buy a dress for an event, I don't want to have her to ever have to ask Drake.
Right.
And if she ever is in that situation and it's an event that involves me, like me getting an Emmy or something, I want her to know that she can come to me and I will buy her a good dress, because I don't want my daughter-in-law to look like shit.
All right. Well, good. Is there anything that you want to say to potential contestants should Drake become the Bachelor of the Future?
Yes. I mean, sign up. Like, it's going to be great. hopefully they have a little sister that'll want Brandon. And I'm looking forward to that day. It might be my next television appearance, which is sad. In the meantime, you and I just kill it in the podcast world.
Oh, dear God. All right. In case they don't know where to find you, which I'm sure they do, just remind people.
So my podcast is Juicy Scoop, and it's lots of fun, juicy stuff. We cover it shows, too, like Kate, and it's just more of the fun, and it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and, of course, it's free on iTunes, so subscribe.
So yesterday you spoke to Ross and Marissa from Celebrity Yes. Big Brother, which I'm about to listen to now. What is the one thing that they should listen for that episode? Because people are obsessed with that show, as I was too.
So much. I mean, they really share a lot just about what it was like to be there for 30 days. Just, you know, and they talk about Omarosa and their feelings towards her, which was a little surprising. And so I want people to listen. But I think just the process of it that I wasn't really aware of, because like I said, I never watched it prior to watching them. And of course, it was different being that they were celebrities. So it's really fun, and it was really juicy. And it was things that I wasn't aware of. There were lots of things that there's no way you would know, even if you watched it streaming, you wouldn't know. So they were real open with it, and it's great. They're both been friends of mine for years. And it was funny because when Ross told me a couple days before that he was going to be on Celebrity Big Brother, and I had to swear to secrecy because he wanted me to do one of his podcasts, Straight Talk with Ross, I said, do you know anybody else? He goes, well, there's Marissa. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, well, you know her. And he goes, no. I go, how could like the funniest gay guy and a world renowned like fag hag not have met in Hollywood until Big Brother? I'm like, you guys will be best friends. And so I really love that they became best friends and their friendship is real, and that friendship will last forever. So it's really cool. They're really funny together.
Does this make you consider if they had another Celebrity Big Brother going into the home and doing it? Or is that something that you would never do?
100%, because of three reasons. One, I love to just talk to people all day on a bed. It's one of my favorite things to do. Second, my other favorite thing to do is to be on TV. And I haven't been on in a while. And third is I like money. So I'm not going to give up and say I got to go home. The one thing that freaks me out, which we talk about in the episode of Juicy Scoop with them, is the lack of fresh air. But they said hopefully they'll change that, and that that's really weird. It's just like being on an airplane. You know what I mean? It's like with a recycled air. Yeah. And I don't think I would care, but if I go in knowing that I can't have fresh air, I think it'll make me crazy. So hopefully if they do it, they will have a little area that you can walk out and just like at least lift up your head and like breathe some fresh air. I mean, if it's like one outdoor shower or something, because that's going to freak me out. That's like the thing that I think is the most disturbing. Not like not seeing my kids for 30 days. It's the fresh air. Even though it's LA smog air, I want it, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, good. Can't wait to listen. And how can people find you on social media?
It's my name, Heather McDonald, MC, on Twitter, Instagram. Facebook is Heather McDonald Comedy. And I've got lots of live shows coming, live Juicy Scoops and live stand-up in a ton of cities. So you go to heathermcdonald.net.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
The amazing Kate Casey. I want to thank my great guests this week, Sally Ann Salsano, Rachel Degman, and Heather McDonald. I want to remind you, it's so important to go to my Facebook page for this podcast so you can join the group and talk in a closed setting about all the reality TV shows you love. So go to the search bar and put in Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can go to my other Facebook page, which has a ton of my writing, my recaps, etc. That page is Love and Knuckles on Facebook. My website is www.loveandknuckles.com. You can read my recaps, access all my old podcasts, etc. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I love to tweet during the week about shows. Please send me notes about the shows you're watching. Vent about stuff you're seeing on TV. Send it all to me. And lastly, my Instagram is @KateCaseyCA. And as you know, I will be doing tons of celebrity parodies, especially now that I'm pregnant. I've got a Kim Kardashian one in the queue. So thank you again for listening. And remember to subscribe to the show and, of course, to leave a 5-star review. Thank you for everybody who's already written a review, and encourage your friends to also listen to the show. Thanks again. Have a great week. And I'm already thinking about all the shows I've got to watch next week.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.